Welcome. You're listening to the Ultimate Questions Podcast with apologist John Topping. Bite-sized apologetics to discover the believability of Christianity.
Hello, and welcome to the Ultimate Questions Podcast. My name is John Topping, and I'm thrilled to be starting this podcast and glad to have you along for the ride. I'm an apologist for Power to Change's Ultimate Questions Apologetics team, and I'm also an adjunct professor at Master's Bible College and Seminary, where I teach philosophy, ethics, and apologetics. The point of this podcast is going to be to go through different topics and issues related to apologetics and defending the Christian faith. So we'll deal with a lot of different elements from each of the different issues in each episode. The goal is for us to take our time and to be able to have the opportunity to go into all the different little nitty-gritty points involved. I'll also be trying to do this in a way that anyone can listen to it. While we will go into the finer points, I don't want this to be the kind of podcast that you need to have a higher degree in order to even understand the content. So I don't want it to be extremely high level or abstracted in that way. I want anybody to be able to pick it up and listen to it and get something from it. The point, ultimately, is to help you, the listener, become equipped and strengthened. Also, if anyone is listening to this who isn't a Christian, I would love for them to be able to have the chance to be introduced to these new ideas and get them thinking about these topics a bit more. Apologetics really is just trying to answer all the difficult questions that people have about faith. If you have any questions that you'd like to be addressed on this podcast, you actually can submit your questions and we'll deal with it in the future. So you want to DM us on Instagram, and we'll do future episodes where we'll answer the different questions that have come into the podcast. There are also all sorts of questions that challenge Christianity, and we're going to be diving into all of those sorts of things and going into all the different little nuances that are involved in each of those topics. Oftentimes, Christians are scared to send their young people off to university, and the fear is that they're going to be challenged in their faith, they're going to have to deal with these different tough questions, and they're not going to know how to respond, and it's going to shatter their faith. So I know not everybody goes through that. I've actually met students that were kind of disillusioned because that didn't happen to them, but it does happen. And it happens fairly often. I was actually one of those students that had their faith challenged during their education. I was attending Niagara College in Welland, Ontario, and I was there learning video and film production. And I was introduced to arguments against Christianity that I found very convincing. I know not everyone does when they hear these ones, but I found it very convincing and very troubling. See, in my situation, I had every opportunity to become strong in my faith. When my faith was challenged, I still found it incredibly discouraging. It really rocked my whole world. This is probably the biggest and most crucial moment in my life. I was raised in a pastor's home, and I became a Christian at a young age. I read through the Bible over half a dozen times before I got into high school even, and I had gone through all the Sunday school programs and the youth group programs. I was even baby Jesus in the Christmas play one year. So I was quite a churchy kid. I had every opportunity to grow in my faith. As I got older, I started using some of the abilities that I had in church ministry. So I had been getting involved in videography largely through extreme sports competitions. So I had been filming a lot of extreme sports competitions and getting into videography that way. And when my church found out about that, they recruited me for their video department. As I was doing that sort of thing more and more, and high school was getting close to ending, I thought to myself, hey, you know, I could make a living doing this. This is the sort of thing you can get a job in. So I went to Niagara College in Welland for video production. And while I was there, as part of the program, students had to take classes on current events. So it was from a film perspective because they knew we were film students. And so we would look at culture and news and the media being produced. And then one week, the teacher showed a video to one of the sections of the class. So one of the halves of the class got to see this video. And the film was basically this guy doing everything on his own, from what I understand. So he did all the video work, all the sound work, all the script writing, everything. And the teacher was showing us this to show, hey, this is a young person making a documentary video all on their own. So you people are capable of doing this as well. This guy got famous doing this. Maybe you can too. And as they watched the film in the class, she thought to herself, you know, I don't think this was really such a good idea. The film was called Zeitgeist. And it's basically all about different conspiracy theories. The banks are trying to take over the world. 9/11 was an inside job. And then there was a whole half hour dedicated to proving that Jesus Christ is a mythological figure, that he never existed, that he's a myth. So she showed this to all the students in the first half of the class for the first section and realized it wasn't a good idea. It was pretty controversial, so she decided to not show it to the next section of the class, which is the one I was in. So the next day after class, my friends came to me from the first section and started to ask me about this film, which I obviously hadn't seen. They knew I was Christian. I was basically like the only Christian kid in the class almost. So they wanted to know what I had to say about this stuff, if I was totally stumped or if I had answers or what. So since I hadn't seen the film, I went home that night to check it out. And I found it, again, I found it very convincing. He talks down to you a lot. He makes you feel like an absolute idiot for being a Christian. He goes through a whole bunch of history and mythologies and really tries to prove that Christianity is a false religion, that it's just a tool that it is being used to control other people. It's pretty well done, and for me, I found it very discouraging, and it actually hurt my faith quite a bit. I still believed in Christianity, I still knew Jesus, I had experienced God, I had even seen miracles happen in the people around me and even in my own life, but it was still really hard to watch this film because I felt like it was proving that objectively my faith had to be false. The main argument that he used in this film is that Jesus is a myth based on other myths. So the point is, he goes through a bunch of examples from ancient history, mainly using the Egyptian god Horus as the big example, showing that all these qualities of the ancient gods, and Horus specifically, that Christianity actually stole a lot of the concepts from these other ancient gods. So, for example, there's this really great part of the film where you can get this point. So I'll read you a little bit of the transcript from the video. Broadly speaking, the story of Horus is as follows. Horus was born on December 21st of the Virgin Isis Mary. His birth was accompanied by a star in the east, which in turn three kings followed to locate and adorn the newborn savior. At the age of 12, he was a prodigal child teacher. At the age of 30, he was baptized by a figure known as Anup, and thus begun his ministry. Horus had 12 disciples he traveled around with, performing miracles such as healing the sick and walking on water. Horus was known by many gestural names such as the Truth, the Light, God's Anointed Son, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, and many others. After being betrayed by Typhon, Horus was crucified, buried for 3 days, and thus resurrected. So the point of this is that if Horus is a myth that came around about 2 millennia before Jesus is said to have been born, obviously Christianity is drawing influences from this ancient myth. That's why we see so many parallels, because it seems common to a lot of different mythological figures before the time of Jesus. It seems to be some kind of a structure of ancient savior figures in ancient religions. So the filmmaker shows this big list of tons of other figures from ancient religions, showing that all of them have similar stories to Jesus, but predate Jesus. The point being that, obviously, Christianity is just another one of these myths, and it's drawing influences from all these other sources. So the actual events that are described in the Bible are not true, they're just being drawn from other ancient stories. There's a bunch of other really powerful statements like this in the film, and after watching it, I just sat there disturbed by what I had just seen. I went back to school and just kind of hoped that nobody would ask me about this again, but it plagued me for about a week or two. I was thinking about it all the time and actually very distraught over the whole thing. For whatever reason, I didn't ask my dad, who was a pastor. I didn't ask my youth pastor about it. I didn't ask my lead pastor at the time, even though he loves this kind of stuff. I didn't even check the internet. I didn't even do so much as a Google search. I don't know why. I guess I just had assumed that this was news and that no one had ever heard of anything like this before, that this was a new argument and Christians just didn't have a response. Nobody's thought about this. So I let this bother me for about a week or two until I finally couldn't handle it anymore. I needed answers. So I went to the library. I had never been a scholar before this time. I didn't really read very much. And I found the person who made the film, I found his works cited list, basically, and took out as many of those books as I could. So I ended up getting my hands on about 8 of them or so. And what I learned from doing this was basically the guy was lying through the entire film. Now notice, I wasn't reading Christian apologists. I was reading the sources that he used to make the film. And just by reading his own books, I could see that he was messing with the data in those books. It quickly became apparent that a lot of what he was saying was misinformation. So here's just a little bit about what I'm talking about. The film claims that Jesus and Horus were both born on December 25th. Scholars basically recognize that Jesus was not born on December 25th. Christmas is actually celebrated on that date because of these pagan religions. There's two thoughts on this. Either Christians were influenced by the pagans and just kind of adopted their date just because they were being so influenced by the culture, or what I find more likely is that Christians made Christmas on December 25th in order to overshadow the other pagan holidays. Either way, it seems very unlikely that Jesus was actually born then. So it's not actually part of the Jesus story, so it's not as though the Jesus story ripped off the Horus story or other stories, because December 25th actually isn't in the Christmas story. Another claim is that Horus was visited by 3 kings. And here, again, that's not true of Jesus. Jesus was visited by a large group of magi, or wise men. The term basically refers to scholars, people who were scholars at the time. Also, there weren't 3 of them. There were 3 different types of gifts referenced in the Bible, but the number in the group was probably much larger than that. Another claim was that Horus was born of the virgin Isis Mary. Now that's interesting that the filmmaker said Isis Mary. Horus's mother's name was Isis, not Mary. Her name was never Mary. You never see it listed as Mary. I tried quite diligently to figure out why he said that her name was Isis Mary, and the path that was taken in order to try to make her name Mary was so incredibly convoluted I actually couldn't follow it. It was so contrived and just made up and extreme, I actually felt pretty embarrassed that I had believed it, that I had believed him when he told me that. Also, Horus's conception story is not a virgin birth, because it involves the parents having sex. There's a lot of mixed up data in these stories. It is a myth. There's a lot of different stories floating around, and people, especially the filmmaker, actually get some of the details mixed up. But basically, Osiris is Horus's dad, and he was split up into pieces. And Isis, the mom, puts him back together, but she can't find his penis. So she makes him a new penis, and then puts him back together, and he comes back to life. They have sex, and out comes Horus. Now, does that sound anything like the virgin birth story that we found with Jesus? Nothing at all. But the filmmaker makes it seem in the video like it's the exact same story, and the Jesus Christmas narrative must be a ripoff of Horus. So just a few more of these points. The filmmaker says that Horus was baptized at age 30 by a figure known as Anup the Baptizer. Again, this is just false. It seems like there might have been a figure called Anup the Baptizer, but he has nothing to do with Horus's story. Horus is said also to have 12 disciples, but he didn't. One story says that he had 4, another says he had 16, and another story doesn't give the number. The biggest claim in this film, the most important one, is that Horus was crucified, dead for 3 days, and then resurrected back to life, and that all of this was to save humanity from their sin. There's a major problem with this. Crucifixion didn't even exist yet. When the story of Horus was written, crucifixion had not been invented. Also, I remember reading one of the authors that the filmmaker used, and he commented on this concept of Horus being a figure of, like, Jesus, that Jesus was a copycat of Horus in the sense that they both died for the sins of humanity, that this author was familiar that people were using this argument, and he was actually insulted by this. Not because he was a Christian, but because he loved Egyptian mythology so much and loved Horus so much that he was actually insulted that people would compare Horus and Jesus. And he said explicitly that Horus did not die for the sins of humanity, but instead that he died for his father, Osiris, and that this was a much more noble sort of thing to do than what Jesus did. So did the filmmaker just not read that part of the book? Because he claims that Jesus died for the sins of humanity, which is just false, and his own resources say that. At the end of the day, I found so much information contradicting everything in that video, it actually made me really upset. I had been seriously struggling in my faith, doubting, actually going through an existential crisis. And for what? Because I had believed the lies of someone trying to mock my beliefs? I had just been believing lies full of misinformation and letting them challenge me. And then I got even more mad when I thought to myself that all of my friends at school had watched this video, and now they were all mocking Christianity, thinking of it as stupid myths and fairy tales because this random filmmaker had made a piece of atheistic propaganda? Because of this, I started sharing what I had learned with some of the people in my class. I was able to show them the different lies that had been presented. However, their response wasn't, "Hey, yay, let me become a Christian now," right? Instead, they had more challenges against the faith that they wanted answers to. Also, they would say, "Sure, Jesus might not have been a myth, but what reason do we have to believe in him as our savior?" I had never really thought of this before. I'd just kind of taken it for granted. So I got really interested in this and started looking into it. I ended up finding tons of information on the New Testament about the life of Jesus and looking at all this from a historical perspective, not just treating it as dogma of this is our religion, so we're supposed to believe it, but actually looking at the evidence and the reasoning behind it. Through this time, I ended up learning a lot about these matters and had an opportunity to share what I had learned with people that I went to school with. However, I quickly realized that most people don't know this kind of stuff. So I started to talking to people online about these things, and I made a few little YouTube videos to try and share what I had learned. I ended up doing this sort of thing a lot, and I actually felt as though this is what God was calling me to do with the life that he had given me. From there, I attended Tyndale University in Toronto and got a bachelor's degree with a double major in philosophy and theology. And I had some really great profs there who will hopefully be able to get on this podcast in the future. And they really encouraged me to continue my education so that I could get involved in apologetics. They told me that the best place for me to go would be Biola University in California. So I went there and I took the master's degree program in the philosophy of religion and ethics. After that, I ended up teaching adjunct at Master's Bible College and Seminary, where I teach philosophy, ethics, and apologetics. And also, I landed a job here at Power to Change, where I work on the Ultimate Questions apologetics team. I actually find this really funny that the enemy had tried to use this piece of propaganda to challenge my faith and convince me that Christianity was false. And what it ended up doing is getting me involved in ministry, where now I actually have a job helping equip other people with answers to these questions. So in this podcast, we're going to be diving into a lot of these sorts of topics. We're going to look at difficult questions that challenge people in their faith journey, and other challenges that people have against the Christian faith that keep them from accepting that Jesus Christ is their Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." You are actually supposed to have a reason for your faith, and that's what this podcast is going to be about. To begin, I figured we'd start out this podcast by looking into some of the historical matters that relate to the Christian faith, some of the things that I've mentioned a little bit in this episode. So we'll be looking at the New Testament, whether it's reliable, how different skeptics attack the text of the Bible, what textual variances are and how they affect the faith, what we can learn from sources outside the Bible, and all sorts of different topics like this. Next time on the podcast, we'll be looking at a common challenge against the reliability of the New Testament. Isn't the New Testament just copies of copies of copies and translations of translations of translations? How can it be reliable? So I hope you'll join me next time as we start diving into these topics on the Ultimate Questions podcast from Power to Change Students.